I've got three things that I want to speak on today, and they're kind of intertwined, but they're separate. It's very interesting, and the Lord just kind of put this on my heart here a couple of weeks ago, and He's given me a lot of information since then to kind of help me along with this. But salvation is the first thing that I want to speak a little bit on. I was raised Lutheran. And as a Lutheran, you know, they were kind of an offshoot of the Catholic, but definitely not Catholic. But it was an offshoot. And the way I was raised and taught was, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God and He died on the cross and He rose and you're baptized, that's it, you're done. You don't have to do another thing. All you have to do is just believe it. Oh, yeah. They used to, every Sunday, in part of the service, it would be, "Those who believe in Jesus and are baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all." That was it, done. I'm covered. I can go do what I want to do. My whole life is taken care of. Everything is wiped out till next week. Then I'll come back and I'll say that same thing again next week, and it'll be cleaned. Well, I was unaware. I thought I was doing great. Somebody said, "You're a Christian?" "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible. I believe in, you know, I went to Sunday school, all the good stuff. Got my first Bible at 9 for going to Sunday school all year long and never missing a day. And I started reading it, and I just loved the Bible, and I'm still reading it. I still have that same Bible, but I still read the Bible all the time because I couldn't put it down because I knew it was the Word of God, but I didn't understand what salvation was. Even though I had read where Jesus told Nicodemus, He says, "You have to be born again." And Nicodemus, "What can I do? Can I go back in my mother's womb?" No, spiritually, we need to be reborn. And the way that we do that is through faith. We believe in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit guides us, and we say the sinner's prayer, we give our heart to the Lord. We accept Him truly as our Messiah, as our Savior. And we ask Him to come into our hearts, fill us. And that is where then salvation comes from. It doesn't come from sitting in a church on Sunday and saying, "Oh, okay, I'm good, I'm saved." There's so much more to it. But the salvation is through the blood of Christ. But we have to have the faith and understand that it's a gift. A straight gift from God is that faith. And, you know, when I was a young newborn Christian, I was reading and I was struggling. It was something I had read years ago that I kind of struggled a little bit with. And then I got into reading again, and you know, it was saying here that salvation comes not from works, but a gift from God. It's a free gift, salvation. And that faith is, it's free. We don't have to have works to do it. We don't have to prove ourselves worthy, because none of us could prove ourselves worthy enough to have salvation on our own. But then it turns around and it said that faith without works is dead. And I'm like, isn't that a contradiction? If we're saved through faith and not through works, then what's going on with the works? We have to have works or our faith is dead. Well, our faith, you know, it was driving me crazy. It was like, this is a contradiction. And I could understand why so many people will misunderstand what's being said in the Bible. And it creates problems within the churches. You know why there are so many different denominations? Because one person reads that verse one way and one reads it another. And they're both wrong. They're both right. But they don't realize it, and they're going to stay with that one conception. I am saved by faith and the gift of God freely, not by my works. So you know what that means. I don't have to worry about it. I can do what I want. And then another says, well, you have to have the works or else you'll lose that salvation. So you have the contradiction going on, but it's not really a contradiction. It's like a coin. If you take a coin and you look at a coin, and one side is heads and one side is tails. One side is works, the other side is a free gift. But take that coin and you're going to go buy something with it. It's valuable. It has a value that you are going to turn in to get something of value. But when you hand them the coin, do they look and say, oh, I'm sorry, that's the faith side, you can't have this one. Oh, that's the work side, it's no good. It's still good. Both are right. It becomes very difficult when we start to think about it, and it's like, I'm doing work, my salvation is coming through faith alone, but salvation needs works in order to, but it's not through works that we are saved, it is through the cross. That's where we're saved from. And only through Jesus are we saved, and through his blood. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. We can't do it alone. We can't do it by ourselves. It is a gift from God. Not works, lest any man should boast. So we're looking at it as the heads of the coin. This is the head. You have it as a gift from God, not from what you have done. It's all free. Jesus went to that cross freely, knowing what he was going to have to suffer, knowing what he was going to have to go through, and pay for my sins. The suffering he had to have done just for mine alone had to have been tremendous. But he did it for all of us. Imagine the suffering and the pain that Jesus went through to give us that salvation, to save us, to take all of our sins upon himself, to have his blood spilled that we may become cleansed and clean. It's, to me, it's just amazing that he could love me enough to do that. Love all of us enough to do that. I couldn't do it for others. I know I wouldn't. I just couldn't do it. But Jesus did it freely. Knowing what he was going to go through, he did it freely. In Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name above heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Salvation is, how can we not be saved? How can we not accept Jesus as our Messiah into our heart and grow and develop and live for him? How can we not say thank you? It's a free gift. That salvation is a free gift. And Jesus is saying, here, all you have to do is accept it. Oh, no, not me. I'm not accepting that from you. Why? It's free. Didn't cost you nothing. I'm giving it to you freely. And then turn around and say, no, I don't want it. Yeah. But something that can be even worse than that is to accept it and not accept it. And say, I accept it. Jesus, yes, you cleansed me. Like when I was a Lutheran, I believed that I was cleansed. It was just given to me. I didn't even accept it. I just believed it. That meant I was saved. I believed it. Okay, that's all I need to do. That's not all we need to do. You know, when you look at it and it says the salvation, it doesn't mean that my behavior doesn't matter. When I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, that is not an open invitation to sin. That is not an open invitation to say that I can engage in willful sin. I know it's wrong. Yeah. Yeah, pornography ain't nothing. I can watch pornography. That don't mean nothing. I can cheat on my wife. That don't matter. I can cheat on my husband. That don't matter. Because I'm saved. Hey, cheating on my income tax? It don't matter. Why not? Don't hurt nobody. And besides, I'm free. I'm totally free of it. I don't have to worry about it. Because, I'm saved. I can do what I want to do. I can live that sinful life. I'll be here on Sunday, though. I'll put $10 in the offering. I'm doing pretty good. I'm really cleansed. I'm really clean. I am covered by grace. So I can just continue to live this sinful life that I have lived. It just doesn't matter because I'm saved. I'm cleansed. Romans 6, 1 through 3. What shall you say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace abides us? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? We're dead to sin. Not allowed to continue to sin. The woman that was accused of adultery, and they brought to stone him, for Jesus to say stone her, because she was caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus didn't do anything. He wrote on the ground, in the dirt. And they all started to leave one after the other. It's a whole nother teach, because I've got a whole big thing on what he was writing. But so they were all leaving, and Jesus turned, and she was there by herself, just him and her. And he didn't say, you sinful child, I'm going to stone you. No. What did he say? Go. Woman, where are your accusers? They're gone. I accuse you not either. Go. Go, your sin's forgiven. And what did he say? Sin all you want. Go do what you want to do. It don't matter. Just go ahead. No, he said, go and sin no more. Again, that's what sin. Go and sin no more. You're dead to sin. Know you not that so many of us, as we are baptized into Christ, are baptized also into his death and resurrection. Cleansed. But not continually looking at sin as a free pass. I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. So what if I go out and smoke dope? So what if I'm selling drugs to kids? So what if I'm a pedophile? It don't matter. I can just do it. It's fine. Got a chance to shoplift here. Nobody would know I'm doing it. You know, I got those self-scanners. You can just put a whole bunch of stuff in without scanning it. It don't matter because I'm cleansed by the blood. No. This is where we start to run into that kind of trouble when we think we're above salvation. Salvation has a cost, even though it's freely given. Jesus wants us to be his. He gives us the example of how we should be living, not a free pass to continue living in sin and in the world. In Ephesians 2:10, which Terry always does this, he comes up with something, and I swear he's copying my notes because he had said it earlier. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. The other side of the coin, works. So it's saying right here that we're created, basically recreated in God's image, in his likeness, to be able to do good works. But I don't need works. It's telling me, you know, I'm saved by grace, not by works. But now it's saying, but he created us in this new creation for works. We don't need works for salvation. But when you have salvation, you need works. Like I said, it sounded like a contradiction. It's always been something that kind of baffled me a little bit. How can it be both ways? But it's saying, I'm giving you freely salvation. Now that I've given you salvation, what are you doing with that salvation? Sinning? Going after it? Or are you going to do my work? My works? Are you going to be there? Faith involves the body, the soul, and the spirit. All three. It involves it in that faith. And that faith is what gets us saved. And we have to embrace truth, mind, heart, and will. All of it. We have to commit to Jesus, not use Jesus as an excuse to be able to do what is still an abomination to God. We need to be able to continue to understand that the works are what is expected of us after salvation. And it can easily become second nature. Because we have to have it as a salvation and faith is expressed through our actions and our public declaration. We're publicly declaring that, yes, Jesus, I accept you as my Messiah. And because of that, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live my life this way. Not in the world, not the sinful nature of the world. I'm going to live it for you. He isn't saying I'm giving you the free pass just to go do it. No. In James 2:17 and 18, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Understanding that it's almost like we have an obligation once we've been saved to change. When Jesus says, be born again, it's born a new creation. And as a new creation, we don't go back to the old creation, to the old being, to that sinfulness. We don't go back there and say, oh, I can just stay where I'm at. He isn't saying, I'm giving you a free pass. I'm paying for it. It's not costing you anything. You're having that salvation. If you die the minute you give your heart to me and you die, you're going to heaven. You got that salvation. I'm going to give you that salvation, but I want you to do something with it. I want you to do some works. Now, I got a few questions here. Who could give me an example of works? I mean, it's in there. We're going to do works. Tammy, give me an example of works. Preaching the gospel, speaking to those that you meet. Who else has something? Yeah. What's that? Cleaning the church. That's some of the things. We tend to think that it, the things that if we're doing it for the body here, I mean, those that have decorated the church looks great, and they did it freely, and it's their works. They're giving their time to the body. We had, just after Bud had passed away, our young adults went out to Natalie's where she needed help in the yard, and they freely went and helped her clean up the whole yard. They cut things, they moved trees, they did everything and anything that she needed. They fixed fences, they just went in there and helped because there was a need, and they went in there and they did the works, not because they were expecting something, because they were giving something. They were giving of their time. They were giving of their opportunities to help others. If you have a neighbor woman, a little old lady, and it snows, you go and shovel her driveway or you shovel her sidewalk. Not because you're expecting something, because you're giving something. You're being an example of what Christ would be. Where would Christ be? What would Christ do if he was living next to this woman? He'd go over here and cut her grass and shovel it and take care of her. As the word said, take care of the widows and orphans. But how often do we? We need to look deep into ourselves and say, how does God want me to work? We need to be, through our works, an example to the unsaved world that this is what Christians are really about. We care. We love you, even though you're not part of our church. You're not part of my family. We still have that, I want to give. And people see it and they say, look, that's what Christians are. That's what Christians are all about. Not hypocrites that, go to church on Sunday or Easter and Christmas and that's about it. And for Christ, I'm saved. Kind of reminds me of the old Godfather movie, the first one, where Michael Corleone is going to become the Godfather. And he's in there in the church becoming the Godfather. And it says, Michael, do you denounce Satan? Yes, I denounce Satan. Bang, 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 bang. He's killing all the other heads of the families, and he's murdering like 50 people. He's got the hit going on, and it goes back to the church. Now, do you accept Jesus as your Messiah? Oh, yes. Bang, 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 bang. I'm still in the world. That's not Christianity. That's not faith. That's not salvation. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. It's what the world wants us to do. It's what Satan wants you to do. Satan wants an example that people look at Christians and say, I'd never be one if that's what they are like. I don't want to be a Christian because I don't like the way they act. They're supposed to be these people proclaiming to be these really righteous people, and they're all hypocrites. They're all just doing what they want to do. And every one of them. So I don't want anything to do with them. Is that the example we want to set? Or is the example we want to set that people look at us and say, wow, I want what you have. I want what you were showing and giving. When I got saved, it was because of the visitation pastor here at this church, Vern Lee. And we wound up going to a Bible study at the Stones, actually, Maria and Bob Stones. And we went to a Bible study that Vern was leading this Bible study. It was on Revelation, too. It was really good. But he was leading this Bible study, and we went there. We weren't saved. And I said, whatever that man has, I want. The Lord just oozed out of him. He couldn't help but love one another. He was there. If somebody said, Vern, I got a flat tire, and he's out cutting the grass. Got a flat tire. Okay, I'll do that later. I'll go help you. He'd drop what he was doing. He'd go run and help somebody. He fell out of a tree once, broke his arm, and in the hospital, he's walking with his Bible up and down the rooms, praying for people, showing that that's what, he was in pain, but he was, every room, they all knew who he was. He came in and prayed for all of them. Somebody would call and say at 2 o'clock in the morning, my mother's dying, and the Catholic priest said they can't come till tomorrow. And, my mother, what room's she in? The next thing you know, Vern is leading somebody to the Lord on their deathbed. That's works. That's bringing it all together. So like I said, when I first read that, it's like, okay, I'm saved without works. They don't want me to do works to get saved. But, that's faith. I have my faith through salvation through faith. And it's free. But then again, I got to do these works. in order to show myself, well, I don't understand it. Well, now I do. God gives us salvation freely without us working for it. But then afterwards, we have an obligation to be an example of him in us. If he's truly in you, if you have truly accepted Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior, who wouldn't want to do the works? Who would say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be nice. I want to be grouchy. I want to be like Scrooge, you know? I want to save all my money and I'm saved. And then the end of the movie, what does he do? He's still got the money. That's what I always liked about that. He started off rich and he ended rich. But it's what he did with the money afterwards. And that's what works are. What are we doing to show our love for God? If I truly love someone, I want to do things for them. I want to be there and show my love for that person. So if I love Jesus, I want to do the things he would like me to do. Not that I have to, not that I'm obligated, but I want to do it. I need to do it. Another works that's really important, read your Bible. There's works. Reading it daily, getting into the Word, having a Bible study. Bible studies are some of the greatest things. You get together with people and discuss, and you can talk about things like this, where you run into situations where you're misunderstanding or not understanding or confused, and it gives an opportunity to get that confusion moved around through discussions. And then we find out that we don't always agree on it. And that's okay. But the main thing that we need to agree on is that when you're doing the works, you're an example of Christ in the world. Sandy over here. I just love Sandy. My sister-in-law had to have a partial hip replacement the other day. She had a fracture in her leg there, and they had to do a partial hip replacement. And Sandy lives in the same building. And Sandy's over, well, you want me to do her laundry? What do you want me? Asking what she can do to help. Not because she felt obligated, but because of the love of Christ coming out of her is the example of what we're supposed to be living like. I'm going to be closing here real soon, and we're going to set up for communion. But we need to do, and all of us, myself included, we need to continually do soul searching on what does God want me to do? Who does he want me to talk to today? I remember Bud. I love my old brother Bud. I miss him so much. But he would get ready to go to Menards to pick up something at the house, for the house or for the church here. And he'd say, Lord, who do you want me to talk to today? What do you want me to say? And it never failed. He'd go over to Menards and he'd run into somebody that was, he could see he was down and out, and he talked to him. Can I pray for you? Well, yeah. Oh, that'd be great. And he was an example of what the Lord wanted. He was showing people, yeah, I'm a Christian. And as so, that's why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this because I want to be a nice guy and I want your, you know, a Christmas card from you. I'm doing because my Lord He gave me salvation. He gave me a new creature, a new being. And I need to let it come out of me. As we get more filled and more filled with the Holy Spirit, it can't stay within the body. It's got to come out, and that's where the works comes. We have to just be the example of Christ to the world and not be of the world.